Pesachim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes, 4-9, and the last Mishnah of the Perek. And in fact, this is actually probably not a Mishnah originally. This is probably a Tosefta. In the Gemara, you'll see it's not a separate Mishnah, and the Rambam says as much, but he felt that this Tosefta, which is an addition to a Mishnah, which is brought in the Gemara over here, contains some very important Tashkafic lessons, and therefore the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos gives an explanation, a commentary on this Brisa, and that being the case, even though it's originally was a Tosefta, Brisa Tosefta, let's call them synonymous for now, it ended up being later on included in the Mishnah proper. So here we have it. It says, and it's structurally, of course, similar to the previous Mishnah, because it says, Shisha Devarim Asa Chizkiyahu HaMelech. There were six things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, King Hezekiah, did. Similar to the way in the previous mission we had, there were six things that the people of Yericho did. Ashlosha hodulo, there were three of these six things which the rabbis agreed with Chizkiyah's actions. Vashlosha lo hodulo, and on three other ones, the rabbis didn't agree with what he did. Meaning he did all six things, but in three of them, the rabbis just didn't agree. Just to make sure it's clear, in the previous Mishnah, we had six things being done in Yericho. All six were not with the approval of the rabbis, but three of them had explicit disapproval expressed. Here in our Mishnah, we have three things that the rabbis actually, yes, approved of, and three that they didn't. And here they are. The first of the three that they did agree about was Gerer Atzamos Aviv Almita Shel Chavalim. After the death of King Ahaz, the father of Chizkiyahu, who was the 12th king of Yehuda, Chizkiyahu became the king, he's the 13th king of Yehuda, and as part of the burial, Chizkiyahu buried his father Ahaz in a conventional way. He transported the corpse on like a rope stretcher as opposed to like a fancy bier that one might use for the burial of a king, because Ahaz was a rasha. He was a terrible person, and he brought a great deal of idolatry of Avodah Zarah to Klal Yisrael. Chizkiyahu, in contrast, was a big tzaddik, a great king, and both to effect some kind of kapara for his father, and also to do a Kiddush Hashem and let people know just how terrible his father was and how Avodah Zarah is, he gave him what is a relatively speaking disgraceful burial, as much as he's buried like a common man. If you'll ask what's with Kibud Av, the obligation of honoring one's parents, so first of all, you should know that the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'em applies both during the lifetime of your parents as well as after their death. However, the question is, does the mitzvah of Kibud Av apply when one's father is a rasha? So that's actually a machlokas Rishonim. Rashi says, no, it doesn't. The Rambam and others say, yes, it does. But at all events, after the death of a parent who was a rasha, there's no longer a mitzvah of Kibud Av, or Aim. And that being the case over here, Chizkiyahu did what he did without concerning himself with the mitzvah of Kibud Av. And Vahodulo, the rabbis were in agreement that that was a great thing to do, to send a very powerful, important message to Klal Yisrael. Second of all, Vikitas Nachash HaNachoshes, he ground up the Nachash HaNachoshes, that copper serpent. You recall back to Parshas Chukas, the Jews were complaining about Moshe and the food and water, and the man wasn't good enough for them. And Hashem sent these fiery serpents to attack the Jewish people, staving off the plague happened, but then to heal themselves, they needed to look at this. Hashem told Moshe to create this Nachash and Nachoshes, this like kind of copper snake that was put on a pole for them to look at, and by looking at the snake, they'd be healed. Truth is that Nachosh is probably best translated as bronze, but bronze is basically just copper and there's a bit of tin added, so probably much of the same, probably both mean the same thing. I mean, excuse me, the word Nachosh means both copper as well as bronze. Now, what had happened was that Nachash and Nachosh, the Nachushtan, this copper serpent, was left since Moshe's time, but people were bringing it offerings, like bringing, you know, incense offerings to it, treating it as an idol, and therefore Chizkiyahu thought it was inappropriate, and he it certainly wasn't appropriate, of course, and therefore he saw fit to actually grind it up and get rid of the Nachash and Nachoshes, and the rabbis Vahodulo, they agreed. If you'll ask, well, once it's been served as an idol, there's actually a mitzvah Midoraisa to destroy idols, so why wouldn't that apply to the Nechash and Nechoshes? And the answer is that the people who were doing the Avodah Zarah, didn't have the right to turn it into an idol per se, meaning if you have a car in your driveway and I bow down to your car as my car god, whatever it is, so to speak, that wouldn't make your car now liable for destruction because I have no right to turn your car into an idol. It's your car, not mine. Similarly, people bowing down to an idol that isn't a statue that isn't theirs wouldn't make it forbidden. But nevertheless, Chizkiyahu sought to get rid of it, and that was for the betterment of society, and the rabbis agreed. And the third thing is Ganaz Sefer Refuos v'hodu lo. There was the Book of Healing, Sefer Refuos, which is already written by Shlomo Melech, King Solomon, and in it contained the medical remedies to all sorts of maladies. So how to heal yourself, get instant healing from whatever was ailing you. And people were going to the book and using it to get sort of instant healing, and therefore not needing to respond to the fact that they were unwell, which was the purpose why Hashem sent them the illness in the first place. So they weren't doing tshuva, they were just kind of taking, two pills and getting all better, whatever their recipe for the healing was. So Chizkiyahu thought that was not good. He thought that it would be much better. People should be unwell and then have to respond to their unwellness by doing tshuva and returning to Hashem. And they were losing that opportunity by having sort of an instant fix. And that being the case, he was gonez. He hid away this book. Geniza would imply, has a connotation that it will come back one day. It's just sort of in safekeeping for now. That's how most, like Rashi, most learn it. The Rambam strongly objects to that pshat. He says there's certainly nothing wrong with going to a doctor and getting healed, and nothing wrong at all with that. And the same way a person, eats food every day and recognizes that without the food, he would be in big trouble, but he understands Hashem provides him the food. He thanks Hashem for the food, and that doesn't make him have less bitachon, etc. So too, a person can get healed with medication or medical treatment, and that should not necessarily impede on his bitachon. So the Rambam disagrees strongly. The Rambam explains that what's going on here is this book was like an occult book, and although it was nonsense, didn't actually have any, the remedies prescribed by the book were certainly not efficacious. But the pictures in them was kept around so that the rabbis could understand what different occult, Avodah Zarah type things were going on and what was the Avodah Zarah behind these different practices. So it's sort of like an educational manual, if you will, on what not to do when they needed to know that. But nevertheless, since people were doing these remedies and turning to the occult, which is certainly forbidden in Jewish law, Chizkiyahu destroyed the book. Hid away the book. And that's how the Rambam understands it. Okay, so those are the three things that he did that they did, yes, agree to. But al shlo shalo hodulo, there are another three things that they did not agree with Chizkiyahu. The first is kitzas delasos shel heichal v'shigran lemelech Ashur. Chizkiyahu cut off the doors, the golden doors of the heichal, of the sanctuary, of the temple, in the temple complex, and he sent them to the king of Assyria. The story here is that the Assyrians, actually under Sargon II, not the same as the Akkadian Sumerian Sargon from 1500 years before that, whatever it is, in the year 721, 22, 23, he conquered the northern half of Israel and that's the 10 lost tribes story. He did not succeed in taking the southern half. Later on, he did besiege Yehuda, the southern half. While he did capture Lachish, etc., he was not successful in taking Yerushalayim. Now, in anticipation of that siege, a great number of things were done. The building of the broad wall, which you can see in the Old City today, by the post office in the Old City, etc., just outside the square. And he also did some other things we'll talk about in a moment. But the end of the day is the Navi Yeshaya said not to worry, Hashem would protect the Jews of Jerusalem. Ultimately, that is what happened, and there was a plague that beset the Assyrians, and they had to leave their siege without having conquered or even shot an arrow at Yerushalayim. But be that as it may, under Sennacherib, who took over from Sargon, like I said, this is the year 701 BCE, something like that, he did levy taxes on the people in Yehuda, and there was a heavy tax, and they didn't have enough silver in the treasuries to meet the tax requirements, and therefore instead of, as the rabbis wanted Chizkiah to do, being confident he'd find the money from somewhere, whatever the story is, he actually cut the golden doors off the base of Mikdash to send them as part of this tribute and tax to Melech Ashur Sennacherib, and the rabbis did not agree to that one bit, but he did it anyways. They didn't agree to that. The second thing that he did they didn't agree with is Sasam Me Gichon HaElyon. He stuffed up the upper Gichon spring. The story is that there's a natural spring, the Gichon, which provides water to Yerushalayim. You'll note that most ancient cities are on some natural water source. Jerusalem, in the middle of the desert, it doesn't have a river or whatever it is, but it does have a spring, the Gichon spring. You can still see, if you go into the what are called Chizkiyahu's tunnels today, you can see the tunnel that Chizkiyahu made to access that spring. But he stopped up the upper part of the Gichon so that the Assyrians who are besieging the city from outside wouldn't have access to water. And although that did mess up the water supply, and the rabbis therefore were opposed to it, Chizkiyahu felt it was important to protect the city from the siege. So that's what he did. Belohodlo, but they did not agree. And the third thing is Iber Nisan ben Nisan. He added an extra month. The English word for that is intercalate. But the point is that as I'm sure you know, the Jewish year is required to stay in line with the solar cycle because Chodesh Ha'aviv is the springtime, let's translate it as, after the spring equinox is when Pesach has to fall. The problem is that our 12 lunar months add up to about 354 days, which is about 11 days short of the 365 for the solar year. So you need to sort of add a few days every once in a while. The way it works nowadays, it's a fixed calendar. Every 19 years, there are 7 leap years, which means there's an extra month, the second Adar Sheni, added to those 7 extra Adar Shenis over the course of 19 years. In the time of Chizkiyahu, however, that process, I think, only started in the year 358 of the Common Era. So we're talking 1,000 years before that, when they were deciding whether or not to add an extra month based on, amongst other considerations, the calendar, the weather, the condition of the roads, and the ability for people to bring the Korban Pesach. So since Chizkiyahu took over from Ahaz right before Pesach, and because it's a din derabbanan that an idol conveys tumah, at least midrabbanan, and he wanted to clean things up first, he needed some more time. So Chizkiyahu wanted to add extra month to give him an extra month to prepare for the upcoming Pesach holiday to make sure everything would be as best it could be. The problem is he only added an extra month at the last moment. And in fact, according to the Chazal, later than the last moment, what happened was he added the extra month on the last day of Adar. I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. So the Mishnah says it was written Nisan and he added an extra month. So that's too late. Once Nisan's come around, it's too late to add an extra month. So that'd be forbidden. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud, says that that's not exactly what happened. What happened was that it was the last day of Adar, meaning the 30th day of Adar, Adar Rishon. And even though witnesses hadn't come to testify to make it now the new month and of Nisan, still, they could have come by the 30th, and therefore, while Chizkiyahu thought it wasn't too late to add extra month, the din is in fact that once the 30th of Adar has arrived, and since it could be Nisan, it's now forbidden midrabbanan to add an extra month. It's too late for that. So Chizkiyahu didn't do that. He added extra month, notwithstanding the fact that it was the 30th of Adar, and the rabbis disagreed and said, no, once it could be Nisan already, it's too late. You can't add an extra month. But he did anyways, v'lahodulo, and the rabbis did not agree to that.